From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns has taken us into the opening verses of chapter 12. Today, he'll bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Cure for Fainting. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional passage from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is called Among the Redeemed. The text is Numbers 23 and verse 9. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who would wish to dwell among the nations and to be numbered with them? Why, even the professing church is such that to follow the Lord fully within its bounds is very difficult. There is such a mingling and mixing that one often sighs for a lodge in some vast wilderness. Certain it is that the Lord would have his people follow a separated path as to the world, and come out decidedly and distinctly from it. We are set apart by the divine decree, purchase, and calling, and our inward experience has made us greatly to differ from the men of the world. And therefore our place is not in their vanity fair, nor in their city of destruction, but in the narrow way where all true pilgrims must follow their Lord. This may not only reconcile us to the world's cold shoulder and sneers, but even cause us to accept them with pleasure as being a part of our covenant portion. Our names are not in the same book. We are not of the same seed. We are not bound for the same place. Neither are we trusting to the same guide. Therefore, it is well that we are not of their number. Only let us be found in the number of the redeemed, and we are content to be odd and solitary to the end of the chapter.
Precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me, thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command.
Channels only, blessed Master, but with all
channels only,
blessed Master,
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, known as Faith's Hall of Fame. As we've been seeing, the spirit of that passage carries over into chapter 12. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled The Cure for Fainting. The text is found in chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The emphasis throughout chapter 11 is upon living by faith. Indeed, as Dr. Cairns has already shown, even the Lord Jesus Christ carried out his earthly ministry and his death on the cross by faith. As we'll see in the course of this message, it is by faith in the finished work of Christ that Christians receive the grace and the strength to endure in the race that is set before us. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the opening portion of a message called The Cure for Fainting.
Let's read these opening verses then of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own word. That last verse is one I'm not going to be dealing with this morning at all, but it's a very important verse in the book of Hebrews. According to most of the scholarly types, this is not an apostolic letter at all, but was written by a second generation Christian. They stopped short of calling it a deliberate attempt at forgery, because there's an undoubted attempt, at least, if you take their view, to, especially when you come into the last chapter, to make it appear that this was written by an apostle from prison. We take it the apostle Paul from prison. But they look at various features of this and they say, well, first of all, the Greek is too good for Paul. Wonderful what 6 years of Greek can do for somebody, that they can criticize an inspired apostle. Maybe too good for Paul, but it certainly wasn't too good for the Holy Ghost. They say the style is not Paul's. You know, the man who wrote Alice in Wonderland also wrote textbooks in advanced mathematics. I dare say if you were to read Lewis Carroll on advanced mathematics, the style of writing would be somewhat different than Alice Through the Looking Glass. And you would say the style is not compatible. The Lord help somebody's wit when they think they can get to such wonderful intricacies of style. They have never but yet been able to do it with a living writer with any degree of success, and there's no chance of them being able to do it when they subject an ancient writer to such scrutiny. But actually, the words of this little verse do indicate that this was written in the apostolic age. No man in his right senses, no man telling the truth, could ever have written to Hebrew Christians after the reign of Nero, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. The church had a bloodbath at that time, and ever after that continued to have bloodbaths. In fact, through the first 300 years of church history, there were 10 major persecutions. Now, that's one on average every 30 years. It didn't work out quite that way. Some of them were more prolonged than others, but it was literally the trail of blood. No reference at all to the famous pseudo-history book by that name. But after Nero, you could never say to the Jewish Christians, especially, that they had not resisted unto blood across the empire. They were especially the objects of hatred, and Nero certainly was after Christians of all kinds, and particularly Jewish Christians. And so here's a little almost incidental that will show you that this writer certainly was writing in the apostolic period. We take this to be the Apostle Paul. Many people have called it Paul's anonymous letter to the Hebrews, and for good reasons. He did not append his name, but certainly it is an apostolic letter. That's just by the way. I always like to get a little dig at the pseudo-intellectual who knows more than the Word, knows more than God, and thinks that he has the divine ability to criticize the inspired Word. The Word is true. The psalmist did say, and the apostle agreed, let God be true and every man a liar. If we have got to call every evangelical scholar in the country a liar to let the Bible be true, I'm quite happy to call every scholar a liar to let the Bible be true. One of these young ladies, I may never get to the sermon this morning, may never get that far, gets Christianity Today given to her, and she gives it on to me. I don't like to spend money on that particular production, but I'm always happy to see what the compromisers are up to. And I notice a huge two-page advertisement signed by some wonderful evangelical intellectuals. And then a tremendous list of most of the leading evangelical scholars in the Western world advocating the platform of feminism. And they are trying to say that all that Paul seems to say about, for instance, no women in the ministry, Paul doesn't seem to say that. Paul just says that. What he seems to say about the husband being the head of the wife, again, he doesn't seem to say it. He just says it without apology. These gloriously learned imbeciles come along and they say that we must reinterpret this as to mean the very opposite to what the words do mean. Now, it is a sad thing when a person's learning gets to the place that he has to say the Word of God means not what it says it means, but what we want it to mean. I have referred to Lewis Carroll already. He had a famous line, that the words mean whatever I want them to mean. Well, that's certainly the way it's coming to be in evangelical scholarship. Let's be fundamentalists in the real sense of the word, that we get fundamentally down to the Bible, and if it means we run against every man, woman, and child on earth in order to run in line with the Bible, we run in line with the Bible. Let's make that our stand, and we will never go far wrong. Now, there's a whole lot of other things that are coming into my mind, and that particular line I'd be happy to follow up on, but since you want to get your lunch the same day that you had your breakfast, I think I'd better not do that. Actually, the words of our text are not in verse 4 at all, but they're in verse 3. I know that Dr. Barrett stole this text, and he just jumped to chapter 3, and pretended he wasn't stealing my text, but never worry, the Bible's big enough for both Dr. Barrett and me to preach on the same text from now until the Lord comes back again, and we still wouldn't have got any further than scratching the surface of it, so I'm not too worried. But these are great words. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. These words could very well be taken as the key to the entire epistle to the Hebrews. The Lord Jesus Christ is the very center of every section of this book. If you start at the beginning of the book, you'll find that Christ is the Son. He is the eternally begotten and only begotten, co-equal, co-eternal Son of the eternal Father. He is the express image of His person. He is the brightness or the outshining of God's essential personal glory. He is the Son. You will see that the Son took flesh in order to satisfy the law and divine justice. He is the servant, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Then, thank God, He is the sacrifice. He is the one who shed His precious blood for the redemption of His people, to purchase what the apostle here calls eternal salvation. And He is the Savior. In fact, it is working out the theme of Christ the Savior that is the very body of this epistle. Because here Paul deals with Christ our priest after the order of Melchizedek. As a priest, He offered the sacrifice to put away sin. As a priest, He offers His intercession on the basis and on the merit of that sacrifice to ensure its successful application to all for whom He died. He is our priest. As we have been reading in Hebrews 12 already, He is our pattern. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And thank God He is set before us as our glorious prospect, the one who is coming back the second time without sin unto salvation, for whom we look and in the light of whose coming we seek to live. You could then actually use the words, consider Him, to unlock the mysteries and the message of every section of this great epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. You could go chapter by chapter and consider Christ in the particular revelation and relation that is there set forth. For it's the purpose of the whole book of Hebrews to show forth His glory. This consider Him could be addressed to sinners. Take this book of Hebrews, and if you're a sinner, consider Christ. Consider the eternal Son of God, coming down in the form of flesh, going to the cross on Calvary, actually tasting death. And that expression, taste death, is not an expression that would, as it may appear in English, say that he merely took a sip of death or of the pains of death. No, the idea is that He fully entered into all the awful depth involved in dying under the wrath of God. He tasted death. Substitutionally, He tasted death. In our place, He tasted death. My, if you're in this meeting this morning as a sinner, consider Christ the substitute, Christ the sacrifice, Christ the sin bearer. Thank God, Christ the sin remover. The one who by the shedding of His blood expiates our guilt, reconciles our souls, justifies us in the sight of God, and prepares us for a place in glory. You're here today with a burden of sin on your heart. You look in and there's no hope. You look out and there's no hope. Then the scripture is, look up and consider Christ. What think ye of Christ? Make sure you do think of Him this morning. Make sure you do consider Him today. Don't blunder on the road to a lost eternity with a heart that's hardened and a mind that's darkened, and thoughts that are in every foolish thing of the flesh and of the world, but are never settled in Christ. Only Christ is able to save. Only Christ is able to satisfy. Only Christ is able to keep you in life, in death, and bring you to glory. Therefore, consider him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.